Hello, and welcome to Dear Hank and John.
Well, as I like to call it, oh boy, so bad already. What? Where did the well come from?
Well...
Or as I like to think of it, Dear Catherine and Hank.
It's a comedy podcast where two brothers and occasionally, instead, two married people answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon. And today we're joined by my wife, Catherine Green, because my brother, John Green, is still feeling real bad.
My wife.
My wife.
So. Wow. Yeah, hey, it's me, Catherine Green. I'm back again to step in when John Green comes up short. through no fault of his own.
No, yeah. Is this your third time?
I don't know.
I think it is.
I don't have memories of the time before I was now.
Yeah, you have a child.
I'm so in the moment and also in the future.
Yeah. The past is nothing to you.
It is nothing. I remember nothing.
Just whatever we took photos of.
Yeah.
And saved photos of.
Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah. I've been collecting all of the pictures.
Hank's been on an epic quest.
Our life. They're on hard drives. They're on phones. They're on different people's computers. They're on old computers and new computers and Picasa and Yahoo Images. Flickr is what I mean. And they're on Google Photos and they're on iPhoto and they're on Dropbox. They're everywhere. And I'm getting all into one place. And it has been weeks.
Yeah, weeks. It's been like every spare moment too, which there are not many of.
Yeah, Catherine's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, just uploading another directory.
Who knew it was going to be this difficult?
I took a lot of pictures in our life.
Yeah, it's been over a decade since the digital camera thing started.
Right. Yeah.
And
it's very clear in my photo archives when I got my first digital camera. It's very obviously 2002, 2003, when suddenly it's like, oh, I went from like having 100 pictures a year to having like 10,000. Not 10,000, but a lot. And over 30,000 pictures I have uploaded.
Whew.
And when I finish, it's your job to decide which ones we keep and get rid of.
I'm so looking forward to deleting. I like getting rid of things. It is one of the chief joys of my life. So this is like my Christmas present.
Yeah.
I got you
these 50,000 photographs. Delete whichever ones you want. The life-changing magic of tidying up my Google Photos.
Tried and true. This is a good present for a Catherine.
Yeah, congratulations. I figured out what I want for Christmas.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
I hate you sometimes. You are the worst.
So one thing
I have like dropped you several hints.
I know.
Some are way more
Have you dropped me
possible
hints for what you want?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Some are way more possible than others, but
I don't have any idea what hints you dropped. I guess there was that one yesterday. Was that a hint? Or was that just you showing me an Instagram that you liked? She's making a face.
I don't know. I think that was just me showing you an Instagram. But, you know, you can always, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good way to start.
So here's my hint.
You're going to hint to me what present you want?
I carry around in my pockets two different things, and I want it to be one thing.
Oh, all right.
However, you can solve that problem.
Well, it's challenging when you like change phones. When you have a new phone every 3 months.
It's not my fault.
Was it?
I have had the same phone for 2.5 years. I got a new one. It died in 2 months. I don't know what happened to it. I dropped it. And then 6 hours later, it was like, you know what I won't do anymore? Anything. Yeah. I'm done with all things.
I will exist.
I am now a slightly reflective.
Or will I?
Yeah, right. If a phone isn't a phone, is it a phone?
No, that phone just had an existential crisis and it gave up.
It did.
Committed suicide, I guess.
Yeah, and I was really loving it too. Mm. So I feel as if I cannot endorse that phone anymore because it just stopped working.
Well, it's a good thing that Google sent you this other one.
Yeah, Yeah, so I am in the fortunate position of having Google occasionally send me a Google Pixel because they're like, hey, we want you to enjoy this phone, which I do very much, except for when it just didn't turn on anymore and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I probably can, like, I finally found the little barcode so I can take it to the Verizon store and be like, this broke, and
right.
But I couldn't find that barcode and they won't do anything if you don't have it. But I have it now. Now I just have to find time to go to the Verizon store, which is like the worst place.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that.
No offense if you work at the Verizon store. I'm sure lots of people do. But the Verizon store, there are a number of them in Missoula, but mostly there's this one. There was like a sign ordinance. This is it.
Oh, wow. We are going off on a tangent,
so there's
y'all.
There's a sign ordinance.
Here we go.
On this road.
Follow
in
us
Missoula,
along.
And it says, like, your sign can't be bigger than X. You know, this wide and this tall, this aspect ratio.
Welcome to the fascinating content you have signed up for.
And so instead of making a bigger sign, they turned the entire Verizon store into a sign.
Yeah, basically the whole building, like the whole facade of the building.
It's like a black building with red neon around everything. And it's so gauche. And
it is. It is disgusting.
And it's not like it's a nice part of town. It's where all like the McDonald's is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like it. But still, every time I drive by, and it used to be this cute little grocery store.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a cute little grocery store.
It was a disgusting little grocery store.
It was. It hadn't been a cute little grocery store for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
Possibly decades. It was terrifying kind of corner.
Right.
That was overgrown and,
yeah.
You know.
It was like half someone's house and half someone's cheese mart.
Yeah, now it's a terrible Verizon store, so progress.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
I don't know why that one got me so hard. Enough is enough. Welcome to 2017. Enough is enough. Tagline. It doesn't matter what side of you're on. That's what everybody feels like.
Just had enough.
Everybody's had enough, which is too bad because we've all had enough of each other's enough.
Oh boy,
and we would like more, but that's enough for everyone else.
There really isn't.
Oh,
there, yeah, there is no.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
We got on phones.
We did. We haven't even gotten to. So how are you doing,
well,
Hank?
This was how I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about my photo system, and I am.
But
I'm
you didn't
very,
ask me how I'm I was
doing. I'm very
excited
to get done with it. Well, how are you doing? And also, do you want me to get you anything for Christmas?
Oh my God! Wow.
What is
it? I don't know if what. Wait.
What are you? What were the hints? I can't believe I missed the hints.
Oh.
Was it travel? Because you've hinted at some travel, but so have I. Because I would like to go away. Because it gets awful here in the winter.
Yeah, I mean the place I want to go is maybe not. Well, I don't know. There's a variety of ways this could happen, but I'd like to go see They Might Be Giants.
Mm-hmm. And they're not coming through here, but they are going on like a tour of everywhere.
They're touring again this year. So that was on my list.
Mm-hmm.
However, we can make that happen. And, you know, that's the major one.
Yeah.
Also, how am I doing? I just got a massage for the first time in like 2.5 months. So that was okay.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, me. I set it up for me. And you.
Yes, I got one too.
And my baby.
Yeah, my baby. We got a little baby massage for the baby.
We all got work done this morning.
That's the life that we live. Our baby gets a massage. I don't know.
I did find a short poem.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It's
good for you.
It's by William Wordsworth. Perhaps you have heard of him.
Mm-hmm. I like how his last name has the word words in it.
Right?
Yeah.
And worth.
Mm-hmm.
Like words are worth
something.
Is that
guys. His real name?
I don't know. I don't know anything about William Wordsworth except that he's a poet of a certain era, possibly romantic.
1770 was when he was born.
Mm.
And then he died in 1772. No, I made that up.
Wow. That's he was a prolific little two-year-old. So sad, though.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh,
I knew
God.
I was going to make you sad. I knew I was going to make you sad. As soon as I made that joke, I was like, oh, why did I do that? Yeah, you're thinking about maybe William Wordsworth dying.
Yeah, baby two-year-old William Wordsworth dying. Anyway, should I get to it?
Yeah, okay.
While you look up who William Wordsworth
was?
Well,
it seems that it's just his actual last name. So at least
that's all you wanted
to
know. Okay, yeah. It's called, I believe the title of it is To a Child.
No.
I don't know. Small service is true service while it lasts. of humblest friends, bright creature, scorn not one. The daisy, by the shadow that it casts, protects the lingering dewdrop from the sun.
Mm. It was good and short.
That's...
I'm sorry. Something happens when people start saying poetry and it just turns my mind off. It's like the words hit buttons, in like the reset button in my brain.
That style is particularly challenging.
Yeah, you have to spend time looking at it.
Yeah, so, you know, come back to it or don't. Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
That was my poem for the day.
Thank
Should we answer some questions, Hank? This is an advice podcast about death.
That's a fantastic idea. It's been like 10 minutes. Okay. This first question comes from Arthur, who asks, Dear Hank and John, what am I supposed to do with the cereal crumbs and bits that are left at the end of the bag box of cereal?
Mm.
I like that it's a bag box because there is a bag in the box and also it can just be a bag. I can't pour them in with the rest of the cereal. That will ruin the cereal and the milk, not water. Yeah, not water. John's not here. Experience by making everything way too sweet or adding weird texture. I can't throw them away because that's wasteful and this stuff is expensive. What did my mom do with those bits when I was a kid? That's a good, I mean,
that's
I'm
a great
not
question,
mom.
But I do have a suggestion.
Is it what?
She just nommed them while you weren't around.
Yeah,
she was just like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. Here's a minute. She's just pouring them right down her throat, probably.
That's the only, because the only time she ever has to eat is like whenever there's food nearby.
Yeah.
Just pour the cereal dust into my mouth to sustain me for another hour.
Yeah. Call your mom and tell her you love her.
I'm specifically talking about Quaker oatmeal squares, the king of cereals, but
Agreed.
Your answer, they are very good. Your answer may have slightly more universal applications. Please help me. Please help bring peace to my mind. There are enough things to worry about at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. First of all, don't worry about this. Also, there are too many things to worry about. We have to stop worrying about things.
Yeah. I mean, can I not have opinion on this?
I could tell you what I do with them. I pour them into the milk and I eat it. And it's like, oh, this bowl of cereal was different than the rest of my bowls of cereal.
Right. You know,
it's
you just treat it as like a different experience.
Yeah.
Like these are left. There is the challenge of like, can I separate these from the, and with oatmeal squares, you kind of can because you can like pull out the things that are whole,
mm-hmm.
finish that, then put the dust in.
Right.
And then it's like porridge instead
yeah,
of
you
cereal.
Make it a porridge. Well, and the thing, like for frosted mini wheats, then they get really sweet because it's all the sugar bits that fell off.
I
and
throw
then it's
that
like,
away.
That is some sugary milk I just made.
Yeah.
But oatmeal squares are different because they're consistent throughout. So you're basically making an oatmeal square porridge.
So I have suggestions if you don't want to just trash them or put them down your incinerator. Granola. I don't know.
Yeah,
mix them in with your
granola.
The texture is already weird in there.
Uh huh.
Squirrel food.
Squirrel food. Yeah. Squirrels will love our birds.
Do you like
birds
or squirrels? Maybe they'll eat it. Just encourage the rodents and things to come to your house.
No.
It's like Cinderella. Maybe they'll be friends and make you a dress later.
Yeah. Do you know the difference between porridge and gruel?
I do, yes.
Because we were talking about it the other day.
Yes, but I probably would have been able to tell you the difference earlier than that.
Apparently, gruel is drinkable.
Yeah, it's like a liquid. It's like a thin liquid soup.
Sounds bad.
Well, yeah, you know, it's not the king of cereals.
It's certainly not. And also, it is called gruel, which
right.
was maybe like bad branding decision.
Yeah.
Who came up with that one?
Interesting, like, that the word for it is so unappetizing.
Gruel.
It's grueling.
I kind of feel the same way about all of the hot wets of the cereal kingdom. Like, oatmeal, like, I just have not yet been able to get behind oatmeal. And I'm 37 years old, so I feel like I'm getting to the stage of my life where I should be more of an oatmeal kind of person.
Mm.
But I just can't get there. But I am now to the point where I can have, like, muesli and yogurt. Like, I can do that, and I'm happy.
Not warm.
No. But,
soft?
Like, yeah, as soon as it's warm, I'm, like, out. Warm cereals, I'm out the door. Maybe I need another 10 years, and then I'll be a warm cereal guy. I feel like it's something that happens to people as they get older. My dad's always eating warm cereal.
Is he? No, he does the same thing you do. He eats granola and yogurt.
Maybe. Maybe it's genetic. I remember a lot of oatmeal happening when I was
anyway, anyway. Should we move on? This is an interesting discussion about what breakfast foods you like. Let's answer another question.
You're cruel.
Dear Hank and John, I am currently working as an assistant English teacher in Japan. The experience is great, but as I don't speak Japanese very well, my way of making friends usually consists of looking interested while people talk at me and nodding my head and making aha noises. Recently, though, this method has, as I found out later, resulted in one of the art teachers at my school offering to do a portrait of me to give to my mom.
And you agreed to this.
Well, you know,
you nodded
unintentionally.
Your head and said, uh-huh.
I'm of course flattered, but also slightly afraid. I don't usually like renditions of myself. That okay.
Yeah.
But even more worryingly, I especially don't want to give a portrait of myself as a gift to anyone, no matter the quality. And then there's that old saying that has been running through my mind of how the fastest way to lose a friend is to paint them. Wow, that's not a saying I've ever heard.
No.
Any and all questionable advice will be greatly appreciated. See you later, Ada.
Oh, yeah. So, the fastest way to lose a friend is to paint them. That would not result in me losing a friend because everyone would be like, of course that looks terrible. Hank has painted one thing, Hanklerfish, and only them.
It'd be like, everyone is a fish. That's how you start. And then it's like.
Yeah, and then it's like.
So you have eyes, right?
Glasses.
Yeah.
Put on your glasses and a stripy shirt because you wear stripy shirts.
Yeah,
sometimes.
What's your distinguishing feature? I couldn't tell you a single thing.
In your hair with a ponytail.
Right, yeah.
Anglerfish with a ponytail.
Anyway, Ada, I think.
I feel like you got to sit for a portrait.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Just take this as like an interesting experience you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you give it to your mom is your decision once they give it to you.
Yeah.
But
and if you
also,
don't,
your mother would love a portrait of you.
I think that might be really nice.
Like you're in Japan, whereas your mom, she's not with you all the time. She wants to see your face.
Yeah, especially painted by a Japanese artist.
I know. That sounds like such a cool present.
It sounds like a pretty cool present. And if your mom doesn't want it, maybe you just send it to me. Send it to Hank and John Green.
No. Well, that's okay.
You can take a cell phone picture of it, though, and send it to hankandjohn@gmail.com because
we
would like to see
it. We will put it on the Patreon if that's if you're interested in sharing the portrait that comes out of this. Yes, we would like to put it on the Patreon for others to see.
Do you feel like if someone asks to paint you that there's more coming along with that request than just I would like to paint you? Like, is it a Titanic situation?
I don't know. There's so many ways this could go. I don't know. She doesn't say anything.
She doesn't say that there's any concern in that department.
The art teacher is,
right.
Or what her relationship with this person is. Other than that, is this person flirting with you and you're just not sure because, you know,
yeah,
language
you
and cultural barriers?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like
if you don't feel comfortable with it.
Oh, yeah, don't do it.
Obviously, don't do it. But, like, if it just seems like an innocent, this person is interested in making a facial study.
Yeah.
Like, because you probably, I don't know, don't look like the person that the people that this art teacher sees all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe they just want
a different
face to look at. I think. You know, obviously, up to you. But if it was me, I'd do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The end.
This next question comes from Brooke, who asks, Dear Hank and John, it is winter, which means that it is cold. So cold that I am reminded of that scene in Star Wars where Luke is walking in the frozen tundra and then he cuts open the inside of an animal and just, like, gets in to keep warm. How cold does it have to be where this is okay? Babbling! Brooke.
Oh, that's good.
I like it because it is. She's kind of babbling.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I had a lot of thoughts about opening up a tauntaun. How cold does it have to be for it to be okay to cut open it? Well, first of all, I think the tauntaun died.
Tauntaun had already died of
exposure
or exhaustion. Yeah. Which seems unlikely to me. Like,
right. How is Luke still
alive? Luke would die
first.
Yeah. This was like pre-Jedi, like... strengthening.
Also, aren't lightsabers hot? Like, can't you just like huddle up with your lightsaber?
Mm.
If you have a lightsaber, couldn't that keep you warm? Couldn't you like just warm your hands on it?
I don't know.
I've
know nothing about the physics of lightsabers, given that they are fictional.
I know that when they touch people, the people get burned.
Yeah,
so
real.
So you'd think that they'd hot.
Yeah.
You'd think that also, they'd hot. Sometimes it cauterizes the wound and sometimes the people bleed. I think it's interesting that, like, Star Wars lightsaber wounds often don't bleed because there's so little blood in Star Wars. And that's sort of, like, one of the ways that they're sort of more kid content, mm-hmm. that there isn't as much bleeding. And, like, lightsabers and blasters don't tend to leave blood, except for some reason in the cantina on in the Mos Eisley spaceport, when they cut off that guy's arm, it bleeds in the first one. But that was, like, early on.
So yeah, maybe it was just a different body type.
Yeah, alien physiology. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, how cold does it have to be where this is okay?
I mean, I think that if it's life or death, I don't know. It's up to you, but I'd kill an animal to live. And that includes crawling into the bowels of a beast of burden.
This is the thing, you know? You just never know. You get in these situations.
Right.
What sort of things you will find yourself to be capable
of.
Yeah,
you're going to find out about yourself.
Yeah. Those. Yep. That's why you just don't put yourself in that situation.
That's right.
You don't need to be out there in the cold where that is okay.
Yeah.
We have gotten to this point in human cultural evolution where that is not necessary.
Yeah.
Like, don't go helicoptering to the top of a mountain.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, get left there by yourself so that you,
No. It's not good. It's unnecessary.
Not good. It's not good for you, and it's not good for the bison that you're ultimately going to cut open and sleep inside of.
No, I mean, like, also, are there wildlife up there? No, because they freaking know.
They left.
Yeah.
They're out.
They're not up there. They know that's not a place for peeps to be. Don't be up there, peeps.
Correct.
So, yeah. Too cold for you is how cold? Too cold.
Too cold. Don't go to places where it's too cold, and it won't be a problem. Also, warm yourself on your lightsaber if it comes to that.
Yeah, do not do.
Do not do.
All right, this question comes from Twitter. Thank you for sending in your Twitter question. Dear Hank and Catherine, my future wife and I want to build a tiny house for ourselves. Is this a good idea or just a load of crap? I am a man in a cup, Joe.
What? I don't necessarily get your name specific sign off, but maybe somebody else will.
Sure.
I do feel like people come down on one of those two sides. Like, tiny houses are a point of opinion inflection where people are either like, I get it and I want to live inside of a place where when I sit up, I hit my head on the roof, versus people who are like, oh my God,
why?
Stop, get over this weird. And so
I mean, I think the motivation is good. It's like simplifying your life.
Right.
I don't need all this extraneous thing.
Yeah, and
also,
I'll have like
the challenge of like
square feet
building that, one.
Yeah.
I could see being interesting just because you're like, how do I get all the things that normally are in a normal sized house into a tiny house?
Yeah. And also, you get to learn about plumbing and electricity and carpentry and all those things, like, without having to build a whole house.
Right, and ruining a whole house.
Or, yeah, ruining without ruining a whole house or a whole house's worth of lumber.
Totally. Totally. It's like a practice house.
Yeah, totally.
You just practice on this one, and then if it's you just take it to the dump. Sorry about the S word.
Yeah, and it's already on a trailer, so you just drive it there and scrape it off. And that was only 10 months of your
life. No, you should deconstruct
it
and, you know, reuse the lumber and whatever.
Right, yeah. Take it to home resource.
Yeah. I think it is limited viability for people. Some people can totally do it and cool, whatever. That's fine for them. Some people live in the woods. What?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that has always seemed a little weird to me is, like, if you want to live in a tiny space, they exist. They're apartments and they're trailers and they're, like, mobile homes. Like, there's lots of tiny – but, like, there's something about the tiny house that is, like, appealing
it's our aesthetic.
Spot in my mind that is not actually – doesn't actually correspond with how I would like to live.
Yeah.
It's just something that I like to look at and think about rather than something that I would like – to be a part of and actually have it be part of my life. Like, I like to have, especially now that we have a child.
It's like an imaginary space, you know, where you can, like...
It's sort of like this, like, magical TARDIS place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is. And like, I love looking at them in like Dwell or whatever and like watching Tiny House Hunters. But, you know, I'm aware that this is not actually a lifestyle that I would enjoy living.
Yeah. And I think it's try it out first. Before you go through the whole thing of like buying one and building it and whatever.
I bet you can VRBO a tiny house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also there's challenges like legally, logistically, and things like you got to find a place to put it and all that stuff.
Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, there's already houses on all the normal house places.
And what is your motivation? Like, why do you want to do this? Like, do you want to limit your consumption?
Mm-hmm.
I think you should investigate your motivations for this impulse.
And also, how tiny is tiny? I have a friend, actually, who's building a tiny house apartment community. So it's six tiny houses.
Uh-huh.
They don't share walls. But they're not that tiny. They're 500 square feet, which is how big my first apartment was.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of tiny houses are like 100 square feet or 150 square feet, which is just like ridiculous.
Literally like flatbed trailer, flatbed truck size.
Yeah. And whereas this is like, it's a 500 square foot apartment. Like, that's a way that lots of people live.
Yeah.
Or like fitting a tiny house into a shipping container has always been very appealing to me. Like, this house fits in a shipping container. How neat. But I've gone to visit some of those and I'm like, how does this work? And they're like, it's actually pretty expensive because shipping containers aren't cheap. They're made of steel. Like they're extremely sturdy boxes like, made of steel.
Going through all the thing of like retrofitting that, it's not easy because it's not done a lot. And so, you know, anything that's done more than once is easier.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we do these conveyor belt things, style things. But
right,
I don't know. I not have an opinion on this one?
And I don't either. Like, you can do whatever you want.
Sounds like that's what we're coming down
but
I think that,
but hopefully we are helping people develop an opinion. Our next question comes from Les, who asks, "Dear Hank and Catherine, what happens if I have a kid and it doesn't like dog? What do I do about the kid?"
What do I do about the kid? Oh, what if it doesn't like dog?
First of all, is your dog's name Dog?
Yeah.
Or is it just, or was it a typo? Probably a typo, but I like it better in a world where it's just Dog. What do I, if I have a kid and it doesn't like dog? It's just like a panic. Like, it's just, and I understand, like, yeah.
What if it doesn't like dog?
What if it doesn't like dog? Here's a tip.
My nephew was very, very allergic to animals when he was first born, and he loved dog and cat and bird and all an animal, but he was really, really allergic to them. So they just had to wait, and you know, eventually he kind of grew out of the allergies. But you know, there's time in your life to learn to love dog.
Yeah.
And also, if they don't, you know, every person is a different person.
That's right.
And you can't force your child to be anything.
Right. Here's
that
what
it does
I will
not want to be.
Tell you from having watched a lot of people who had dogs and then had kids, is that the dog becomes less important to you.
Oh yes. I mean, you still like, love this dog.
Yeah.
But you. It is not top of the pack anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't love it all that much for a while.
maybe for a while it's like, how on earth am I supposed to take care of this and this? Why are you still, can't you take care of yourself? You're a fully grown animal.
Yeah.
Can you stop peeing on the carpet?
Right. Some people are totally capable of like expanding their hearts to fill anything, but some people aren't, and that's fine too. You know, you can only do as much as you want, but once you have a baby, that's the priority. You got to recognize that.
But if you have a kid and doesn't like dog, though, you can keep dog. Like, you can have things in your house that your kid doesn't like. We have a ton of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, he seems to like everything.
He doesn't really like.
Yeah, what doesn't he like? He doesn't like.
Sometimes he doesn't like getting his butt wiped.
Right. No, he doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't like the washcloth that we wipe his face with.
Right. Yes. He does not like face wiping. But that's not like a thing.
Probably the thing in his house that he is most like has both positive and negative feelings toward. Like the things that he has the largest negative feelings toward is us.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because we're always trying to make him do stuff he doesn't want to do.
Right. Like most things he's either indifferent
like, hug
to
us.
Or he loves them.
Jeez.
But us he like loves and also hates.
I wouldn't say hate, but tolerates with
I mean, sometimes he's pretty upset. Oh. It's such a sad face.
No, I know.
When I'm like, dude, I just have to do all the bedtime stuff. You gotta sit through the bed. I know your butt hurts.
Bedtime stuff.
He's got some bad diaper rash this week.
Gotta wipe his. It looks so much better today.
It does.
Everything's gonna be fine, guys. Our baby's butt is good. Here's a question from Michael. Dear brothers of Clan Green, or wife and husband of Clan Green, I like to walk around on campus when it is dark. Mm. I enjoy it because it is peaceful and not many people are out and about. I naturally walk faster than most, so when there's another person, I would normally walk past them, but I don't want to freak them out by making it feel like I am approaching them.
But
if I slow down and we're going the same general direction, then it seems like I'm following them.
Yeah.
What do I do? Pavo mediocri salvete.
You know, I looked that up.
Michael, and I'm sorry about my Latin. I do not do Latin pronunciations.
I looked it up, and Google also can't handle this because Google said it meant peacock regarding goodbye.
Good.
So I don't know what it actually means.
Probably not that one.
Michael meant to say peacock regarding goodbye.
Huh.
I don't know. That's all I got for you in terms of the sign-off. In terms of the question.
Right.
Here's what you do. Just turn. Just like, I'm going to walk across the leaves now.
Yeah, right.
Just into a hedge.
Dude, if you're just taking a walk, you can go any direction you want.
That's right. Yeah, like, no, I do this all the time where I'm like, I feel awkward. This person knows I'm here but doesn't want to turn around to look at me, so I'm just going to go into the woods.
That's not creepy at all. Just
he disappeared. Where did he go? He was right there. He was right behind me. Where did this man go?
Did he go into the bush?
Other
Other
solution. You can go with yours, but I have another solution.
Wait, what is? What? I said just turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First solution.
Yeah.
I have another solution.
Okay.
Rollerblades.
Right. I mean, there's nothing less threatening. Like, you cannot be like, oh, here comes a guy on rollerblades. Better get out my mace.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. But the thing is, on rollerblades, people know that you're not approaching them. Like, people know that you're going to be passing them because you have wheels. You got the rocket feet. God. And there is something really non-threatening about a guy on rollerblades, especially if they're like hockey skates or if they're like trick skates, maybe like that guy looks
a little bit
cool.
Yeah.
Like, and he might, but like if you're like got skates that are just for like skating.
If you got them fitness skates on.
Yeah, fitness skates.
Yeah, fitness skates. Nothing sexier.
Which is the only kind I've ever had. Oh, man. I love rollerblading.
I know. It's just not possible here
in
the Montana.
We got
bad weather and bad sidewalks.
Yeah.
Because of the bad weather. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have not
rollerbladed. I see people around doing it, but I'm like, that's got to be just... Yeah. What a nightmare.
Oh, man. I think we can have that one out of the park. But like, yes, this is like a legit... fear that I have that I'm freaking people out by walking up behind them.
Yeah.
But because I'm like tall and big guy.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Yes. Yeah. I don't necessarily feel this. I mean, I have felt the other way where I'm like, what's that person behind me doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
But generally, I just don't care about it.
And I just wanted to say that Michael said that his girlfriend Jen is a huge fan, and we should say hi. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Hi, Jen. I'm Hank's wife. You don't really probably care about me. I'm sorry. I'm a surrogate John.
This next question comes from Hannah, who asks, Dear Hank and John, the other day I was having a conversation with my friend, and she started telling me something that I had originally told her. She stated beforehand that she had heard it from someone but didn't remember who, so it's not like she was, like, stealing my anecdotal facts. But I was not sure how I should proceed. I ended up just sitting there and listening to it as if hearing it for the first time. But, like, was I lying and also wasting everyone's time? Apricots and alley cats, Hannah. Yes, you were lying and also wasting everyone's time, and you did the right thing.
Yeah, I guess.
I do that, like, when John does this to me, I'm always like, yeah, you've told me that before. Or like, yeah, I told you that.
Yeah, I guess it would depend like how close you are with this person.
Yeah.
Whether you would want to be like, yeah, I totally told you that. Why? What?
Yeah.
Or if you just want to be like, in the interest of just getting through your life
right.
with minimal conflict.
Like, there was that moment when she was like, this is something that I heard, but I don't remember who I heard it from.
Right, yeah.
And then as soon as you started the thing, you'd be like, oh, that was me.
Yeah, it was Hannah that you heard that from. Weird, right? Cool. Yeah, because then you can have that conversation instead of you just sitting there being like, I talked to you about this. Yeah.
I know all about the ship of Theseus. Oh, my God.
So just next time. You can break in and say, yeah, I'm the one that told you that.
I'm the source of all your best facts.
I mean, Hank Green.
What?
Will steal all your stories.
I will steal all
your
stories.
And tell them back to you like you never existed in the first place.
Is that true?
He's a story amoeba.
Do I do that?
I don't think you do it intentionally, but
we definitely don't do it intentionally.
But you do absorb stories into your. Well, John does it too.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. So, nice. I think it's pretty natural. You're like, I have a great story. I told this. You just want to be interesting.
Thank you for always calling me out on my BS, Catherine.
Oh, it's not. I mean, it's minimal BS, you know. But here's a better question. Uh-huh. Oh, not that that was a bad question. It's from Adam, and the subject of the email was the mysterious ticking noise.
Mm.
Adam says, dear Hank and John or Catherine, when I stay over at my friend's house, I always sleep on the couch. There happens to be a clock very nearby that ticks very loudly. The ticking is so disruptive that it renders me unable to sleep while slowly chipping away at my soul. What do I do?
What do I do?
It's not a bridge. It's Adam.
Ah. What do you do?
Take them batteries out.
Take them batteries out.
I mean, if it has batteries.
Like, does it come off the wall? Is it like is it mobile? Take it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Put it.
I mean, unless it's like a grandfather clock.
Oh,
like have
I ever told you the story?
Here's another question. Like, why are you sleeping on the couch in your friend's house?
What do you mean? Where do you sleep?
On the floor in your friend's room?
I don't know.
That's where I always slept.
I'd rather be on a couch than the floor.
I don't know. What they call them? Earplugs.
Yeah.
There you go. You just bring earplugs to your friend's house every time, or you just leave a pair there. You put them on that clock, because then you'll know where they are.
Or like hide them inside the clock somewhere, so that everybody who sleeps on the couch can know that those they take the and they're like, there's earplugs in the clock.
These are the clock earplugs.
Yeah.
Or it's earmuffs or something, you know?
The thing that I when I'm on tour, sometimes I end up sleeping in rooms with guys who snore.
Right.
And
noises you cannot avoid.
Yeah. And if you turn get an app, like a white noise app, the one I use is called Simply Noise, and you put your earbuds in your phone and then in your ear, and you play white noise directly in your ear, you will not hear it if the world ends.
Right into your brain. It just turns you right off.
And I do this.
It's
I
amazing.
Do this fairly regularly.
This is a good trick, and it's good for everyone. Everyone should do it. You need to sleep.
It's amazing to me the way that some people are able to sleep, because I have had such a pampered life. did I ever tell you the story of the time that I had my computer in the guest bedroom of my house, and I created a screensaver for that computer in which there was a picture of me. This was the screensaver that I made, and I knocked on the screen from the inside, and it made a knocking noise knocking on glass. And there was a whole bunch more.
This is a new story to me, and I am a little freaked out.
There's a whole bunch more to the screensaver, but that was part of it, and it was about a 2-minute loop. And my John's girlfriend came to visit and slept in the guest bedroom. And we turned off the computer monitor, but the speakers were still on. So every 2 minutes,
oh my God,
the computer made a noise like someone knocking on the inside of the computer glass. Well, it was a CRT monitor.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Like a, I can hear it.
Yeah.
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 And so, and like she slept.
She had a terrible night.
The whole, like she did not sleep, but she was in that room all night long with that noise happening every 2 minutes. And I was just like, you have to get up and just pull the plug out of the wall.
Well, yeah.
Or
I mean,
just
like,
let somebody
investigate.
Know or
yeah.
turn the speaker. Like you, there's a number of, and like, if this is bothering you, it's totally fine. As long as you like set the clock back in the morning or you put it in the bathroom and you're like, oh, the clock ticking was bothering me. I took care of it. I am a person who is more important than the location of a clock.
Yes, it's fine. It's fine to be like, can I move this while I sleep here tonight or
yeah.
whatever. But if you don't want to do that, earplugs.
Yeah, or earbuds.
Or your white noise.
And Simply Noise.
Yeah.
Sponsor this podcast. This podcast sponsored by Simply Noise, the app that is free and has all kinds of different noises. It has white noise. It has brown noise. It
has
pink noise. What's wrong?
It doesn't work on my phone anymore because it does not work on newer versions of iOS.
Oh, well, it works on Google Play. I'll tell you that.
I don't know.
There's other ones.
Yeah. So some sort of white noise app.
Maybe
I wish it was Simply Noise.
Is going to buy Simply Noise so that we can continue to update the software because I imagine they don't make a ton of money off of their like.
I mean,
more
the nice thing about it
packages.
Is just it literally is just there's nothing else. It was no frills. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Right. It just had like the like you could pick the noise and you could pick the volume.
Yep. A lot of these other ones they got all kinds of choices and things on them, and I don't care about that. And like night lights. Anyway. This podcast is also brought to you by a bag box of cereal and Quaker oatmeal squares, the king of cereals.
So good. This podcast is also brought to you by Fitness Blades. Your fitness rollerblades. You can go fast without ever looking even a little bit threatening. main advantage.
Come on up. And put on these fitness blades, you will not get a date.
That's true. You will only get dates from really, really cool people.
Okay. This podcast is also brought to you by a lightsaber, maybe? it could keep you warm?
A lightsaber, maybe.
if you're looking for a tool like that, it's a great tool.
Yeah.
That could serve you some purpose.
It could, especially like if you have like a tiny house that you need to take apart because it turned out that was a bad idea.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Like, if you need to deconstruct that tiny house real fast, lightsaber it up.
Vom, vom, vom. All right. And this podcast is additionally brought to you by our actual sponsor, which is merchandise for Dear Hank and John. We've got new merchandise.
I didn't know where you were going. I didn't know that. He's literally brought the t-shirt into the studio as though
I could show it to you all. Here
we
it is.
Could see it. I mean, I can see it.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, rub it around on that microphone.
Do the ASMR thing.
Do it, rub it around. That's a real good microphone.
So we gotta stop it. We've got a Hank and John shirt.
Well, if you want to make Hank uncomfortable real quick,
I'm wearing
you get
the headphones. we got it's Dear
He's
Hank and John
literally
shirt.
Holding it up as I though am... you can see it. Why? Why is he still doing it? So I can describe it
yeah,
to
describe
you?
Yeah, describe it.
Okay, so the words Dear Hank and John are on the shirt. It's a black shirt, very nice black shirt, inside of an octagon shape like a stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things are made out of, one guess, Omegles.
They are, yeah. Or possibly Amazels.
Or possibly Amazels.
Yeah.
Dear Hank and John's first new product. it's beautiful. Its primary color is plus green,
mm-hmm.
and the shirt is black. And, I mean, if you like this podcast, Hank.
What? Boy. That was me tearing off the tag, because it's got a tear-off tag, so you have to deal with the tag.
Yeah, that's great. And then you never know how to wash it again.
I just wash it on
teach
normal.
It, treat it like a t-shirt.
just wash it on normal.
It's a t-shirt one. Give it a t-shirt wash.
Yeah. Wash it on American cheese.
Is that the end of the
question? Wow. That doesn't make sense. What did I mean?
The normal setting of American normal. Cheese?
Yeah, because that's what normal cheese is. Regular.
Normal, yeah. Regular cheese. Are there any other questions we need to answer, or should we just...
There might be a couple. We've also got a sticker. We've got a Dear Hank and John sticker.
Oh, yeah,
it's on my laptop.
There's a beautiful Dear Hank and John sticker you need to get. Put that on something.
And we have a poster as well, a Secret Snakes poster. This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Blue Land. The inside of your toilet is gross, and that's why you shouldn't let anyone in your household drink out of it, including your dogs, please. They let them close the thing. Let them drink out of the bowl. The toilet is where the poop goes. There is an easy way to clean your toilet, though. Blue Land's sustainable toilet cleaner tablet. Just drop it in, watch it fizz, brush it up, and then flush. It's super easy, and the great thing about Blue Land is they are figuring out how to do all this stuff without any plastic at all. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and for the planet, and with the same powerful clean that you're used to. It uses no single-use plastics in any component, from bottles, tablets, to wrappers, and even to shipping. Their tablet packaging, by the way, is fully compostable. Blue Land products are effective and affordable. The toilet tablets are proven to work on a range of toilet stains, including rust, mineral deposits, limescale, and hard water. And look, when it comes to me, I don't really care that much about bacteria in the toilet, because again, that's where the poop goes. That's where it's supposed to be dirty in there. But it is nice to have something to help you with those mineral deposits, which we have in abundance in Montana. You can get even more savings by buying refills in bulk or setting up a subscription. Their subscriptions are customizable and convenient, so you never run out of your most used products. We have been a Blue Land household for like 3 years now. It's super convenient, super good. Like it a lot. The products look nice. They're easy to use. And again, they do not require single-use plastics or shipping a bunch of water around, because it's like the stuff that's going to be in the water, you can just dissolve it in water yourself instead of having the companies ship water from place to... Why are we doing this? Never do I think to myself, oh, this is less effective than other cleaning products. It's just not. It's effective, it's easy, and it's affordable. Blue Land has a special offer right now for our listeners. You can get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dearhank. You don't want to miss out, everybody. blueland.com/dearhank for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dearhank to get 15% off.
Oh, there is one more question I need to get to.
All right.
This question comes from Maggie, who asks, "Dear Hank and Catherine, how did cave people cut their fingernails? Did they even cut them?
Oh, no.
Or did they just break all the time?
Oh, God.
Cringing over prehistoric keratin, Maggie." Oh. Agreed, Maggie. Thank you for making me think about this. And now I am giving it to the rest of the pod listeners.
Now all of you have to think about this as well.
There's nothing better to think about than just your fingernails breaking all the time. I have no idea, and I did not research this, and I wonder if anyone has thought about it.
Yes.
But probably.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of research
on this great.
One.
Hank
turns out.
Comes through.
Yeah. So other... For like as far as what prehistoric people did, we've got some guesses, but we know 100% what chimpanzees do.
Because
chimpanzees
fingernails. Sure.
And they chew their fingernails. Chimpanzees chew their own fingernails.
That was my first thought.
Yeah.
Was that they probably just trimmed them off with their own teeth.
And
because that's what teeth are good
and
for.
Other animals do this too. Like cats will chew off their toenails when they get too long.
Mm-hmm. Well, they chew up the sheath.
All right, right.
Yeah.
So we found nail.
It's just part of the normal grooming thing.
Kits from like the Roman times and Egyptian times.
Scusi.
Yeah, nail care kits from the Romans. And apparently, like, there was a person that you went to, like the same person who would trim your beard and your hair,
would also do
your nails.
Yeah, yeah. The dentist.
Yeah, probably also a dentist. Did you mean to say dentist?
Yes. Because, like, I feel like the dentist was also, like, the person that shaved you at a certain point in time.
Probably,
It was just like, just this was the guy who took care of all the weird things on your body parts.
Just like, you looking good.
Yeah.
Cairo? I don't know. I was coming, trying to come up with a Greek name, and I said Cairo.
Nope, that's not. That's not going to do it for you.
No.
Sparta,
Augustus.
Troy. Oh, a name of the man.
Yeah, of a person.
Oh,
looking
I
good,
see.
Augustus.
Right.
Yeah. Augie.
Well, that's more of a Roman name, isn't it?
Ah, dang it.
Wow, he's really failing over there.
Looking good, Xerxes. No, that was the Persian guy. Man. What are some Greek people? Looking good. George Stephanopoulos.
Ooh.
That's
sure,
a Greek person.
Sure, that's a last name. I was thinking about, you know, like Aristotle.
Aristotle. Looking good, Socrates.
There you go.
There you go.
You got there. That was good. Well, thanks for looking that up for me. Now I don't have to worry about it. Although,
yeah,
like, I also don't really think about, like, thinking about
right,
all those chewing, fingernail chewings.
But
I know
when
that...
people, there are, like, when you do work, like, manual labor, like manual agriculture,
yeah,
your nails do break a lot. And
yeah,
it, you don't probably have to chew your fingernails because you're digging in the dirt and
yep,
you're just carrying heavy things all the time. And
yeah,
probably.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oof.
Yep. We're both
oof,
like,
yeah,
we're both like twiddling
enough,
our fingernails at the moment.
Enough
anyway,
my fingernails the way that they are.
Hank, should we get to the news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon?
We sure should.
Is it time for that?
Yeah.
Great.
You seem so excited.
As the guest of the pod, I have the pleasure of bringing you the news from AFC Wimbledon, and this is hot off the presses from yesterday, November 21st, which is going to be not so new for the rest of you when you hear this next week.
Sound more excited.
Wimbledon continued their upturn in fortunes.
Ooh.
With a desperately hard-fought goalless draw at Oldham.
Are you reading?
Yes, I'm reading the BBC.com
okay,
sport article because they have done the work for me. The Dons had their backs to the wall for almost the entire 90 minutes. Yes, they give you the shots lineup there, and it's 16 shots from Oldham to Wimbledon's 2, so they really were up against the wall.
Oof.
But a determined rear guard action saw them deny their in-form hosts. Thank goodness for the rear guard, because 0-0 draws seems like the best that Wimbledon can hope for at the moment. Niall Taylor fired over for Wimbledon before home striker Craig Davies found the net with a rebound, only to be ruled offside. I know. Ugh. And, then Oldham seized control, but a brilliant last-ditch tackle by Wimbledon captain Barry Fuller kept the score sheet blank. So they're hanging in there. I think there's still like one slot out of relegation. They're 19th right now.
Yeah.
And they have to be in the top 20.
Well,
so
nil-nil draw,
hanging on there with the little fingernails that they probably trim with some clippers or something instead of their teeth. But who knows?
Who knows?
Good
who
luck.
Knows? Maybe when it feels as tight as it is right now, they're
maybe they are chewing them.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's the news from America's favorite third-tier English football team.
This the Mars news is also mixed. So you heard a couple years ago that there were these recurring dark stripes that would flow down like steep areas of
yeah,
Mars, and it was liquid uh-huh, water on Mars. It may not be liquid water on Mars is the new paper that is out. So the main argument that this paper makes is that these stripes appear at like just at the places and at the slope angle that and mostly on sand dunes where sand is continuously replenished that the sand would fall at, and they stop when the slope angle gets to the place where sand would not fall anymore. And so
they think it's some sort of dark sand.
They think
sand,
it might just be like a dark sand thing, but the original thought behind it being water was twofold. One, there were some of these salts that would significantly lower the freezing point of water so that the water would stay liquid for longer.
Okay.
In colder areas.
Uh-huh.
So the salts were there, which made sense that then the water would be sort of this liquid slushy stuff. And also, they were seasonal. So it would only happen in the summertime when it was warmer. So there'd be liquid sort of seeping out was the idea. When it got warmer, some stuff was melting and the liquid was seeping out. The liquid water was seeping out.
Right.
But the sort of counter arguments there are that those salts are around, so maybe this isn't the situation. And it just happened to be in those places. And then as far as the seasonality, there is also some seasonality to how dust moves around on Mars. So that could be not water. And there's really no way to tell with the current instruments that we have orbiting Mars to point those instruments and like be able to tell just by like looking at it what it is. We'd have to either have new instruments that would do something. I don't know how they would do it. If you could do spectroscopy from that far away and have it detect water. Or you got to go right up onto it and be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And they probably and NASA really doesn't want to do that because they're worried that Curiosity has like Earth microbes on it that they could potentially contaminate any
well, and also
Mars
it
life
seems
that would
like
be there.
The ground there. In that area is probably quite unstable and
sandy,
steep. So
sandy 30-degree slopes
seems dangerous to send
Curiosity.
Your rover there.
Yep, good point.
So maybe is the 2020 rover going to have any like probes that can launch from it?
You know,
that would be interesting.
There has been a thought about that, about having basically a quadcopter, like a drone that would go off of it. But they would mostly be using that to scout. So to see higher resolution where the rover's going to go rather than
for
doing
route planning.
Yeah, science on its own.
Well, maybe they can think about having a science drone instead.
Science drone.
Or in addition.
But these are
that's what they always doing on the Enterprise. They're like, send a probe.
Send a probe.
We can't get the Enterprise near it. It's too dangerous.
Face. I'm sorry nobody else got to see that face.
That was my serious Starship Captain face and voice.
But these they're called recurring slope lineae, and there are a ton of them now. We found them all over the place, which is sort of another reason why we're like, maybe this isn't water, because they're everywhere. They found hundreds of them.
Right.
Like hundreds of different locations, not just hundreds of slopes. So that's the sort of womp womp of the day. It might just be dust.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
seems likely to me. It is a cold, dead planet.
There is, to be clear, plenty of water on Mars, just not liquid water. People get very confused by this. And I'm like, no, there's definitely lots of water on Mars. We see that all over the place.
Well, yeah, we just have a different word for it. We call it ice.
Ice, yes. Well, I guess when you say we, who do you mean? Because I would
humans.
Call ice water.
Humans.
No. Scientists. Refer to all states of water as water.
Okay, but there are different words for water when it is in different states as well.
That, water vapor.
That humans
ice.
Use. Yeah, we call it steam sometimes.
Yeah, I guess we call it steam.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like when you say ice,
steam.
You're talking about like frozen
alcohol. You might be. That's the thing. That's
alcohol.
The confusing thing. You
could
but
be. No one normally is doing that.
Like if I just have like a block of iron,
nope.
That's kind of like ice, iron ice.
Yeah.
Because it's not liquid.
That's
solid.
Totally how like normal human beings talk and think. Just say ice.
But like there are other ices.
I know, but.
Especially on other planets.
Are
like
you doing science communication for lay people?
I'm just saying.
For the most part, yes.
Right, yes.
So
ice is
maybe
fine.
We should just say ice, water.
Right. There's lots of ice.
Yeah.
There's lots of ice on Mars.
Water ice.
There's also lots of dry ice on Mars. And we have a word for that as well. It's called dry ice.
Mm.
Water ice.
Now I'm confused.
It's a BB wheel.
Those are not related accents.
I know. I'm sorry.
But okay.
What are you confused about?
No. Never mind. It's not important. A dry ice and water ice.
Right. Well, dry ice is carbon dioxide ice.
Oh. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I needed.
Okay. Catherine.
Yes, Hank.
Thank you for potting with me. What did we learn today?
Wait, we got to the end already?
It happened.
What did we learn today? I don't remember. I told you about this in the beginning. We learned that, like, there's that cereal dust at the bottom of the bag, and and you don't know what happened to it when you were a kid growing up because your mom was just out there, like, taking care of business because she was so hungry.
I just had the thought of, like, you know, like, dipping, like, the dip sugar.
Oh, good Lord. Like, Fun Dip?
Fun Dip. Yeah, yeah. Like, doing that. Like, just, like, licking a popsicle stick and mom, like, rolling it around in the frosting and the frosted mini wheat dust.
Yeah, you know,
like,
she probably
did. I just want to eat something.
She probably, like, poured it into her, like, cold cup of coffee and was like, this'll do.
Poor mom. Everybody thank your mom. We also learned that if kid doesn't like dog, then you could keep kid and dog, and that's to be okay. Not everybody in the house has to like each other.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good lesson for your kid.
Yeah. Right. Yes, things aren't always perfect. And I'll tell you what, Cat does not like baby in our house.
Cat does not like baby.
So she's learning to live with that.
Poor Cat.
Yep.
Sorry, Cat. We also learned that, you know, the Verizon will get around any sort of sign ordinance by just making their building a sign.
Taking over the creepy little grocery store where they sold stinky cheese.
Corporate espionage. That's not the right word.
No.
Whatever.
But we also learned that lightsabers are extremely effective at deconstructing your tiny house.
Ooh.
Once you've decided to move past that lifestyle.
Once you grow up a little bit. I mean. Yeah. Nope. Whatever. Great. Lighthouses. Lighthouses!
Lighthouses. Lighthouses are kind of tiny houses. They just got really big lights on them.
Yeah. Well, yes. Lighthouses are a house for a light, and a light is both tiny and infinite.
Hey, Catherine. Do you want to go make This Week in Rhymes with me for the Patreon?
I sure do. If you want to get access to This Week in Rhymes, you need to come on over and join us on the Dear Hank and John Patreon for $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You can get access to this quality bonus content. I paid for it, and I probably didn't have to, but I...
You do? Really?
Yeah, I pay for it. I don't really know what the money goes to from the Dear Hank and John Patreon. What do you do with it?
It goes to everything.
Okay, yeah. It's just helping to fund Complexly Enterprises. So,
yeah.
You know, you can feel good about it. It's not like John and Hank are like, give me them fives. I'm a roll around in them. Nope.
No. It funds like SciShow and Crash Course and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, come on over. Come on over to the Patreon. Join us This Week in Ryan's. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let Hank do that.
So we're going to do that. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. Thank you to Nick Jenkins, our editor. This podcast is produced by Rosianna Hals-Rojas and Sheridan Gibson. Our head of community and communications is Victoria Bongiorno. My guest host today has been Catherine Green. The wonderful music you're hearing right now is by the great Gunnarola. And as they say in our hometown,
don't forget to be awesome.